Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Yes.
Okay. Is that better?
There you go. That's it.
Okay.
All right. Now we got to figure out how to not have you have an echo.
How about now?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's it. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. No, no, no. No, no. We're still getting an echo. Okay. So let's see. Unmute yourself on StreamYard and mute your phone. We're faced with every year.
You know,
taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, Now approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, persons, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
All right. And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Need to get a sound check. The person who texted you, if they can let you know if we can hear now. I think hopefully I've corrected that problem.
We have someone who would like to speak.
All right. Open their mind. Open mind, which is the
thing. Oh,
yeah, right. I think that would solve the problem of them being able to hear. But that's why I need to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was just, you know, I had a stand, a document that I had created for Shavu's speech. And it kind of goes over what you just said, but put it all in perspective, because I want to go and shift into something else as we celebrate. So Juneteenth is typically June 19th, and each year Juneteenth is June 19th, which is actually tomorrow, June 19th. It commemorates the end of slavery in the United States. Yeah. The celebration takes place June 19th, recognized that took place in Texas in 1865. The story of Juneteenth in Texas when Major General Jordan Granger arrived in Galveston with the news. He had a team with him, and he arrived with the news. And I think most of the folks were in a church, because from what I understand, they just put the notice on the church door. When the folks exited the church, they read the notice or the announcement. It was reading General Orders Number 3, and that's when the people of Galveston, for the first time, the Civil War was over after more than a century of slavery and years of that war. It was official. All slaves were now freed. Now, the 19th of June wasn't exactly the day the Negro was free, but that's the day they told them that they were free. And the particular person who put this
Yes. So that's old-fashioned fireworks.
Yeah, so they tore up the church too. So news travels slowly across the United States, even suburbs, because a lot of people want the word to be put out. Because if the word was put out, that means the owners, the plantation owners or the slave owners, feared that work was not going to be accomplished.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
They feared that there was going to be a mass exodus of their workers to go other places.
Mind,
and some of them did leave. But some folks didn't have anywhere to go. They didn't know where to go. So I looked at a movie the other day, and you can go beyond it, but you can. But if you're not provided the tools. That's what Juneteenth should be about, being provided the tools. What are you doing to celebrate Juneteenth? How are you being purposeful for going further?
Absolutely.
And this is what I want to put stress on the minds and the hearts of people. Let's move past where we are and what we're doing. Yeah, today we were stuck. Today is history. Right now is history. But tomorrow is the future. You don't have to stay stuck in your history. You have to be knowledgeable of your history.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be stuck there. So don't throw your history away.
Yes. Yeah, I think that what we're taught in school is a lot of propaganda. You know, the whole idea is to make it North good, South bad. The Lincoln freed the slaves, and you know, and it's funny, today somebody said even on the Push broadcast, the way we're taught about slavery, where we're taught our history is, we came from Africa, we were enslaved, and then we had President Lincoln free the slaves, and then we had Martin Luther King Jr., and after that, and we got Obama, so everything's all right now, you know. I mean, just that ridiculous.
And for those folks who watch each one of those to find fault with each one of those persons that you just mentioned, you know, you have to stop looking at the fault and look at the positive. And where is your fault? You don't want anybody to look at your fault. You don't want to look at your fault. But,
right.
You know, you have to push past the fault in order to do better in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. We got to get to AD. And when we celebrate not only Juneteenth, but it's so many other celebrations that we encompass in our lives. We got the family reunion. We got the class reunion. The girlfriend reunion. The military reunion. They're celebrated every year, every other year, every 5 years. How are you being purposeful in these celebrations? The 4th of July is coming up.
My girlfriend,
you know, what are you doing?
She retired out of the city.
Are you shooting off the fireworks that's scaring people? You know,
really?
What about the people who are gone before you? About these fireworks and who's making the money with these fireworks?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's good as entertainment, but you don't have food, gas, and $1,000 a gallon, and you burn up, and I've heard it already, you burning up $100, $1,000 in fireworks.
How insane is that? And think about what fireworks represent, the sound of gunshots. How was that fun? You're recalling gunshots. You know, I know so many people who have been to war, and the 4th of July is like a nightmare for them because it's recalling all of those traumatizing experiences of seeing your friend shot, being maybe shot at yourself, being shot yourself. And so even the celebration and using things that simulate bombs bursting in air and simulate gunshots. I will be so glad when we finally get to a point of higher consciousness where we're not doing that anymore. And there will be a point where we don't do that anymore because we don't want to remind people of violence. But it's
be more aware. We have to let folks know
that
is traumatizing to people.
Yeah.
It's traumatizing to dogs now.
Now, if you've got pets, they run and hide. They hate it. So that should tell us something.
I like the visual. town.
Right.
And the smell.
Right. And even the visual, yeah, it's pretty, but how much pollution are we casting into the air? You know, and how's that affecting the birds who have to fly through all that garbage? So, you know, I always wonder, where do birds go during 4th of July, and we've got all these explosions happening in the air? Have any of them ever been hurt? You know, and I know people think, it's just a celebration. Don't be so, you know, harsh.
But they don't think about it.
We have to
some
become conscious.
Don't care.
Yeah.
When they hear about it, some people still won't care. But some people, we have to put that on their conscious mind.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to think about who else is being affected by what we do for fun, and is it fun for other people? And I think there are enough war veterans that are explaining that this is very traumatizing, that eventually, instead of us saying, oh, you know, they'll get over it, eventually we'll say, you know, this really is an awful thing to be recalling, the sound of gunshots, especially because we have real issues with gunfire and we've had mass shootings and all of that. So do we really want to recreate that memory? Now we got a whole nother group of people who have been traumatized by gunfire. You know, all the people who have lost people in these mass shootings, they don't want to hear that on the 4th of July. So,
they don't
want
to hear it.
Yeah. Can you imagine the children?
No, I loved fireworks before.
Yeah.
I was made aware.
But it's about awareness. You know, are you aware of what this represents? Are you aware of the history of it? Are you aware of why we're doing these things? Is this something we should still be doing? And, you know, when I think of some of the recent tragedies and probably how children are affected by this, I think it's going to raise our awareness even more, because you're going to have children saying, Mommy, I don't want to go to the fireworks this year. I don't want to see that this year. My friend got shot, you know, in Sandy Hook, or, you know, and in Valdi, or, you know, my grandmother was
down
the street. You know, I mean, all of these real life situations that make us realize what fireworks actually is simulating. This will make us aware that this is not something to use in a celebratory manner, death and killing. You know, that's not something we want to throw a party around. So we're going to learn how to do things that represent peace. You know, if we're celebrating the birth of a nation that's supposed to mean freedom and liberation from tyranny and all of that, we can think of a better way to celebrate it than gunfire. And I think if we think of... Yeah, thank God we don't do that anymore, because that's destructive, you know. But there are a lot of things.
Right, so hopefully, too, will evolve from what we're doing now.
I mean, you know, there are a lot of things. You can have parades. You know, those are peaceful. You know, parades with nice music. You can have concerts. You can have, you know, games. I mean, there's a lot of different things we can do to celebrate the beginning of a nation that ultimately was striving to stand for freedom and justice and equality. I mean, we're still working on that, but we can come up with better ways to celebrate the idea. And as we come up with better ways to celebrate the idea, we'll actually manifest the idea. So I see, looks like an Omega Sci-Fi man.
I better be winning.
Well, all right now. Yes. My name is Naima, and you know what? Tomorrow is Father's Day. You're a father, right?
Naima, you are meeting me for the first time we've talked.
Yes, we have.
On numerous occasions.
Yes.
Do you know my name?
I'm sure you're going to remind me, and then
Jerry Hunter.
Jerry Hunter. I know that name. I got that business card. Yes. Well, Jerry Hunter.
Name is marketing.
Oh, well, Jerry Hunter. We're sitting
we're
here. We are family. Absolutely.
Are you on the radio?
Yes, I would like you to say a few words.
What do you want me to say?
On air everywhere.
We're on air everywhere.
On air everywhere.
Yes.
Well, this is my medium. Hello there.
This is our host, Deborah.
Hi there.
Awesome.
Look at you.
Omega's
out
there.
Right, Omega man. Yes. Well, you know.
Hello there.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, you know, of course, we're sitting in front of the symbol of fighting for justice here at the Rainbow Push National Headquarters, and talking about the fact that this is Juneteenth and, you know, celebrating our liberation eventually from enslavement. And there are a lot of things that, and I know the Omega Sci-Fi organization is very well connected and very much involved.
Since 1911.
1911.
Oh, yeah. We've been around for a little while.
Now this is a question that I have, because I read a book, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it was making some analogies of some of the steps that are actually a mirror of some of the African dances. And I saw a performance of, I think, a South African troupe, and they were doing this step, and I was in college at the time. I said, oh, that looks like an Omega Sci-Fi step, because, you know, you all have to do that high step and the whole, you know, really strong movement. Can you tell me historically how the Black Greeks evolved and how it happened? Like, I mean, 1911, that's not too far out of slavery. That's just a couple of generations, and we're on college and we're forming organizations. So what was that like?
Well, the steps are important, but the most important about Omega Psi Phi is manhood, scholarship, perseverance, and uplift, because that's the creed we live by.
Mm.
Throughout history, since 1911, you'll find that there have been many great men you had no idea were members of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Wow.
So, you know, if you look at your heroes, even my Omega brother, Reverend Jesse Jackson, you're here sitting in front of an influence of a brother of Omega Psi Phi throughout history. But I don't want to take all your time. I'm just getting here. This is my home. My godmother was Lucille Loman.
Oh, my.
Who was Reverend Jackson's executive secretary and one of the founders of Rainbow Push for 50 years. Okay. So we were church members.
Oh, wow.
I was raised in Fellowship Baptist Church, where Reverend Evans suited Reverend Jackson and helped him get to where he is. So we're about mentoring right now. That's what Omega Psi Phi is about. Okay, we are not ordinary men. We are extraordinary men. So, you know, if you have children out there, you know, all the Divine Nine organizations are dedicated to service. A lot of people kind of get wrapped up in what happens at the undergrad level. If there's some brothers over here, and we do step, and that's showmanship, okay?
Do you know the history of how that started?
The history of how it started? Started in Africa.
Wait a minute.
Do I need to step back and see what I have on?
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. Can you give me? You need to get all of me now.
Yeah, here we go.
Wait a minute. So you can,
here we go.
Wait a minute. Do I need to stand over there? Cause you can't see the whole. Wait a minute.
There you go. Yes. But that's interesting, though, that the African tradition still existed and still came through when we created these college organizations, and we still saw some of the same traditional steps from Africa, even though we hadn't been to the continent for a couple of centuries.
Well, you know, that's kind of old way of thinking about it, because I have a direct connection to Ghana.
Ooh,
right. In fact, this dashiki, I'm the U.S. ambassador for Custom Looks GH.
Wow.
That's CustomLooksGH.com, okay? I have an Omega brother who has a clothing manufacturing plant in Ghana, and he manufactures all types of clothing, but this is one of his lines that we talked about, and I became his ambassador. I market these types of special custom-made dashikis for fraternities, sororities, HBCU organizations, basically any organization, because we customize 100%. So if you belong to Jack and Jill, if you belong to, you know, the Urban League, whatever, if you belong to the sewing bee club. Hey, we'll put that on a dash.
Wow.
But no, that's what we, you know, that's, I'm about, I used to be in marketing, sales and all that. But one of my brothers said, listen, you got too much sales. You know too much. You need to be an entrepreneur.
Wow.
That's the only way we're going to, you know, keep the dollars in the same community. And it kind of, it bothers me that every year we have to tell people to buy black. That kind of pisses me off. Don't you know that by now? James Brown, you say a line of black and I probably.
Yes.
Okay.
We should be doing it automatically.
Economics is the, you know, we, if you, money talks and that other stuff walks. That's all I got to say. Peace out from the Ace Solo Smooth Jazz Q.
And tell us that website again. Where that
oh, custom,
your...
custom with a K.
Oh, okay.
Okay, custom looks, custom with a K, custom looks, GH.com.
What does the GH stand for?
Ghana.
Oh, okay. Custom looks, okay. GH.com.
My name is, I'm the U.S. ambassador. My name is Jerry Hunter.
Jerry Hunter.
And you can
I
look
like
me
that.
Up on Facebook.
All right.
I'm also the Chicago marketing director for the National Black Radio Hall of Fame.
All righty.
Hey.
Hey. There are no accidents. You're right. Supposed to come back here with
ain't no ordinary brothers in Omega Psi Phi, but peace out. Root.
All right. Thank you so very
you're
much.
Welcome,
we appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, oh,
radio show. Oh, yeah.
That's
well, we got to take another break. And hey. Oh, wow, we got some great people that have pulled up. I think they got a, ooh, and they are, oh, wow, they got cars. Well, we're going to see if we can pull them in after the break. ECCSC, which stands for, wait a minute, I should know it. It is XCOMS for Community and Social Change. They do some fantastic work. And if I can get them to do a spot, then that would be fantastic because, you know. Yeah, let's run a commercial real quick, and then and while we're running commercial, I'll see if I can I can grab them. Go right ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Community and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com. mindfulnessmomentsradio@gmail.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Self-sufficient, and it's very significant that they're out here. We know that the way the 14th Amendment is structured, it really was designed to preserve slavery, because the little clause that says that no one shall be held as a servant unless they're duly convicted of a crime. Right after emancipation, and people would be trying to figure out where they're going to go, what they're going to do, they could get arrested for loitering and vagrancy, which basically means you don't have anywhere to go, so you're committing a crime, so we can arrest you and put you back in jail. And then next thing you know, you are serving on a chain gang and, you know, building railroads and everything else for no money. In other words, you're back in slavery. And so this,
the laws are different for each state. Some states you can't even vote.
Yeah, if you've been convicted, you can't even vote. And that was the way to keep people from gaining political power. There's still some states where if you've done time, you can't vote. And so that means people that they don't want to vote, then they can make sure those people don't have any impact on who gets elected. I mean, it's all a very deliberate strategy, and I think that has to be a part of our education, even though it's unpleasant. But if we can, without being angry at any particular group, if we can just explain what happened, that people had an economic agenda. They wanted to be able to gain wealth without having to pay your workers. And they were able to do that. But in order to make people work for free, well, you have to take them from someplace where they're at and then put them someplace where they don't know how to get away. And then basically, you know, you threaten to kill them if they try to leave. And
do so. And kill.
Yeah. And, yeah. So, you're tortured into fear. Yeah.
To the degree where now, they talk about mulatto.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are troops in countries we don't even know that we got troops that are in these countries that are, basically taking people's things. Yeah. Right, right. The those who use other people's resources.
Because.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can you sell something that
belongs to somebody else?
That's it. Yours to have in the first place, and then you're gonna resell it.
Right.
That's like me going past your house on your property, and not even intruding in on your house, but taking your flowers out of your yard and going to the corner and selling them.
Yeah, like this is mine. No, you got it on mine. Yeah, right. So,
because I need your land.
Yeah.
I gotta build a railroad coming through your land, so I'm just gonna take your land because it's for the good. Or even still to this day, people rave so much because they own their home and don't own the land that the property is sitting on. And if the government wants that land that your property is sitting on, they can force you out.
Yeah. Now, how is that? How is that right?
And
so,
you have no recourse.
Yeah, and I've known of people. Right. And that's the biggest challenge that we have when it comes to how do we make things right when there's a massive wrong? Who do we tell? Now, we've talked about, well, we'll tell the United Nations on these people. Well, okay, actually, they're the same kind of people. We're looking for some great protector, you know, so we'll go to the Supreme Court. Yeah, in the country, we'll go to the Supreme Court. But then, depending on who's on the Supreme Court, you know, they might uphold the injustice, and we've had years of that, you know. So everything depends on who's in a position of leadership or responsibility or authority and what kind of mindset they have. Are they trying to do right by everybody, or are they trying to keep the system as it is where a few wealthy benefit and everybody else is living basically in a state of terror because they can't trust those that are in government to protect their well-being. And
they don't have, the government doesn't have your well-being.
Right. They because it was
unless it's to benefit them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the mindset.
So here's going into, and I wanted to touch on reunion, specifically family reunion.
Migrated to? Do you have a plan for the descendants so they can inherit that property? They can maybe take what you have acquired and build on it. Is there an economic plan for the family? I agree. When you have family reunions, you know, at some point, I mean, parties are good, but at some point there needs to be a business meeting.
It needs to be purposeful.
Yeah.
It needs to be purposeful, and you have to get that team together.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to be on the team, the organizing team. Everybody's mindset isn't there. But you have to have this conversation. What about health? You know, there's so can be corrected. Some of it you need to pay attention to. So when you see it, you can say, okay, let's attack that particular illness this way. You have, like you say, the legal ramifications of property. There's so much property in the South that, or not even in the South. We have people who work their tails off and bought property right here in this city.
And they lose it.
It's being lost because someone's not paying the taxes because somebody passed on and the family didn't know that they had this property, even the savings bond and whatnot. Just things that are one of those safe deposit bonds.
Yes, safe deposit bonds.
Something as small as that.
Yeah.
We have to stop having a closed fist and not allowing people in our business.
For the entrance?
Now,
round side.
People are not in our
business. Yeah, we're doing a radio show, but the entrance is on the other side.
You know, folks be stealing.
Yeah.
But we have to have, we can't take it with us. So if you passed on, where is your will? Do you have your will?
Oh, were you with the African delegation?
Yeah,
with the
your narrative.
Oh, Attorney Boykin. Here, come and say a few words about Attorney Boykin.
No. These are some of the things that are so important for the family to move on past if you pass on. You know, so as you travel across the country going to business, take those briefcases with you so you can get those documents signed.
Documents.
Have a will.
That's an important thing to deal with. When you're having a family reunion, where are the important family documents? Things like deeds and wills and birth certificates and all of those things. You know, one of the things that was challenging, particularly that first generation coming out of slavery, there were no birth certificates. You might have some kind of notation, and this is something that I guess Alex Haley talked about when he was doing the research for Rook.
Genealogies.
You know, it wasn't birth certificates and listed with the family birth. It was listed with the family property and, you know, purchases that were made. You know, 5 cows, 3 chickens, you know, 2 Negroes. You know, that kind of stuff. So when we made the shift to independence and personhood, then we had
after
June 19th, then we had to start getting things like documents, marriage certificates. And this is why a lot of family reunions, especially, you know, a lot of people got into family reunions after Root because they realized the importance of family history. And keeping who is your relative. And so that's also a part of what we realize is affecting our economy. When we don't know our relatives, like you said, when we don't know the past, someone dies, they don't tell people where to find insurance policies, or policies don't get paid because no one knew they were there. You know, when we have these family gatherings, we got to have a part of it that's a business meeting. And even when you mention sickness, that affects the family. You got to figure out who's going to take care of the sick person. Are they going to be sent to some nursing home? Is the nursing home going to then eat up all of their savings? Will you have to gather, you have to do a fundraiser within the family to raise funds to bury them? So all of these financial things a family has to deal with, and our family reunions have to look at all of these things. Who's well, who's sick, who needs money, you know, who's trying to get through school, and really be cooperative structures so that we can be more financially supportive of each other. A lot of times
we'll talk about somebody. Oh, yeah, he's broke again. He's out of a job again. Oh, what is she doing? Oh, she divorced again. Oh, what is she got all them babies. You know, we'll do that, but is that helpful? A family should be a support network. And part of the reason why we're having the difficulties that we're having with youth crime and violence, they don't have a network of support. They don't have a family support system. When things happen, you know, they get kicked out of house, get kicked out of school, get kicked out of life. You know, what are you supposed to do to survive? And you don't have people that will look out for you, and you don't even know your relatives. I mean, it starts out when you don't know your father. It's tomorrow's Father's Day. How many people don't even know their father?
Know their father.
And that's a whole side of a family that you don't know, that you're not connected to,
or
that
don't interact.
You know. Yeah. So that's a whole family that you don't even have connection to that could be supportive or helpful, you know, or beneficial. But, you know, a divorce or something happens and, oh, I don't want you to talk to them anymore. That's not helpful. So we have a lot of work to do because the enslavement experience, it disrupted a lot of our family structure. You had a lot of people after Juneteenth, you know, they were able to leave the plantations and everything. They went looking for their families. And we had a couple of generations. We have trust issues. Because we really do. Because we've been betrayed a lot.
Generation.
Yeah. I mean.
Because all nationalities have some of those same challenges. I don't want to talk into this person because they did that. But then they still have a village.
Yeah. Wow. Is there somebody on we can open their mic and just make sure they can hear us okay?
Let's open up this person's mic. 1-1-1-1-1-1. Your mic is open. Would you like to share your experience? Can you hear us?
Check your mute.
Beautiful queen sister, not Iman Latif, and also to you, sister, who's bringing forth beautiful wisdom and knowledge this morning. And I'm glad that God blessed me this morning to be able to listen to it. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. All right. We want to make sure everybody can hear okay. Well, all righty then.
Thank you for all your kind words. Sorry. I just wanted to give a little commentary that's on the commentary that's probably. Go right ahead. Sorry for interrupting you. My apologies.
All right. Go right ahead. Yeah. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, the conversation thus far has been very stimulating. And on the dynamics of discussing the problem, we've analyzed and discussed it to the nth degree. Du Bois did it. Carter G. Woodson did it for us. Du Bois said, so therefore, we've analyzed the issues and the dynamics of why and what caused the psychological trauma. But then, as my sister said, I can't remember your name, I'm sorry. We have to get past and then look, because she says other cultures have suffered those same things. Other tribes and diasporas have suffered those same atrocities, some even, it's worse, or and some even worse. But as a community and village, somehow they, it's kind of like that. I always attribute it to an anthill. You knock it down on those little ants, the first thing they start doing is rebuilding. You can knock it down again, they'll start rebuilding. And for some reason, all the negative dynamics, like the children who and Moses were rescued, we keep repeating those, and a lot of things go into why we, and I keep asking and begging the question too, why all the negative behaviors are being repeated. And people always say, well, of course, it's Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all those who were absent by choice and not. But thank you for imparting a blessing in the world. But the first thing they do is say, well, they blame it on the fathers and home. But that dynamic is all over the culture, all over the world, right? Because there's a shortage of men, because of men die and do dumb and crazy things. I think it's because of the testosterone, because you don't see the female rams or the female bulls over there running at each other saying, oh, you knocked me down that time, let's do it again, So the things that mean, so we just, and wars and all those things, so there's less men. Which goes into that negative dynamic too of them being absent, because it should in a utopian world they would be there to impart their knowledge and wisdom into the relationship, into the community as a whole. But for some reason, the Black diaspora, if I could put it that way, fails to acknowledge or look inward as to why the negatives seem to be resounding more loudly and being repeated more loudly than the positive attributes that Naima so eloquently has displayed and been an example of and speaks of in all of her diatribe, her communication. And with that said, I'll continue to listen and wish you a blessed day and a very happy weekend. Did I lose your name?
Yes. And thank you so much for those words, and happy Father's Day to you. She was saying yes.
Yeah, so we have, let's have one more. Let's see. 443224. I've opened up your mic, even though you didn't ask.
Hello?
So, if you would like to.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, I had to close. I'm in the car, and I had to. I got a lot of background noise here, so I'm burning up
as
I'm talking.
We won't keep it too long. We don't want you to burn.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you all said, especially about the, you know, the deeds and the birth certificates and documents at family reunions, that we need to talk about family issues at family reunions. We need to talk about health issues as well. We have a health epidemic, not just COVID. I'm talking about high blood pressure and sugar and various things, you know, various elements. We need to eat healthier. We need to eat more home, you know, vegetables and fruits and stuff like that, that, you know, of the earth. And so there are a lot of things that we could talk about at family reunions, and we should rehearse them. We should discuss them. Someone mentioned about business opportunities. We should be talking about how we could run family businesses, or how my business could support your business, and so forth. So I really agree with the comment about family reunions. On the issue of family structure, I believe that we need to esteem each other more, create a culture of love. We need to create cultures of love around us. There's a lot, you all discussed negativity, and that being the source that kind of hinders us from going forward. So I think we need to create cultures of positivity and love, you know, in the same environment. For example, I mean, I like to encourage, even if I don't know you and I'm walking down the street, I want to encourage you. I said Happy Father's Day, you know, to a man that was what he was in the Home Depot, and I didn't know him. But, you know, I want to give love to him and his family and his children. I want to esteem him as a man, esteem his children, that's beautiful children. Just random acts of kindness like that to change the atmosphere, because, see, you know, pundits and politicians and the like, they have a way of just making the environment negative, or sounding as if it's negative with all the shootings and all the killings. But we need to change the atmosphere. So I just want to say that.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, and I so much agree. Yes, thank you so much. Well, we got to take our last break. And, you know, he touched on a lot of things about how we can change the atmosphere. And I think that's our challenge right now. How do we change the atmosphere? How do we take the look back at what happened after we finally, as a people, got freed? What did we do with the time in those generations? It's like the young man from the Omega Sci-Fi organization started in 1911. Obviously, we went to work, and we got busy building institutions, and we built, you know, Black Wall Street and all of that. So we really did a lot. But then something happened to put us back in this situation where we're struggling with violence and drug addiction and crime. But we came out the gate running. We really did. And then something happened. How do we change the atmosphere? And that's the question. How do we change the atmosphere? So we'll go to the matter of fact, let me play one commercial from off the screen. Let me play one commercial from here with these. Let me play this one, and it will be right. Yeah, so let me see. Let me play one of this one, and we'll be right back. Oh, can't hear the sound, can we? I forgot, when I play on the screen, you can't hear it in the radio studio.
So as soon as this one, and then we can play on-air news. Well, or we can, well, you know, let me be quiet because I can't even take this for it. But, yes, looking for my guys from the ECCSC. We might not get back in. Yes.
Okay, so do you want to do the on-air everywhere with the visual?
I don't think I have the visual on my screen here. I'm on
okay.
my pad. So.
Don't worry. I'll just do it.
You can do the audio of all the hosts.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
All right.
All right. So, I tell you, Naima, this is our roundabout hour for 30 minutes. And it has really been enlightening as to the message that we've received and the one that we're trying to inspire others to understand and to spew out to the world, to the universe.
Spew out the universe, yes.
Yes.
Thank
Our
you.
Universe is vast.
Yes, it
and
is.
There are so many folks who are in it that need to know of a new way, a different way. The history is good. We have to know the history, but that does not have to be our future.
Yes.
Our future has to be better than the history that we've had. We've got the history. Let us not repeat our history. Let us move forward. Let us learn from our history. So when we get together, whether it be a family reunion or a class reunion or a girlfriend, you know, you don't trust your family, there's got to be somewhere in your village, in your circle, that you trust, that you share, and that you come together. And even if it's just to do your living will, you know, if ladies or the guys get around after the game, they're shooting the breeze, talking about the game, talk you know, general life insurance. So have something. When your credit card sends you some information about insurance, take them up on it. You know, if you have AAA provides, you can get life insurance, or it's accidental death and dismemberment, but it is something that's $20 a month.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go to McDonald's and spend under $20. Even in the sale. So that's a month. You know, where is your value? You know, five steps that event that you were going to do. You know, I look at the different events in travel. I look how much travel is. I look at how much fuel is. We are still on the road. Even though we complain about how much the fuel is, there's still traffic jams.
Yep.
So we still spending that money.
Still spending, still traveling. I mean, you know, life is to be enjoyed. But it has to be enjoyed strategically. Like you say, you know, people, as expensive as gas is, people are still on the road and they're still traveling and they're still doing family reunions. They're still doing it. But
and
we can
still going to concerts.
Still going to concert.
Concert lately?
Yeah.
$100+.
Well, I think the last concert I went to was outdoors, so I didn't pay anything. It was free. But, you know, and this is the summertime. I mean, summertime in Chicago, all the festivals and everything, neighborhood festivals, downtown festivals. We should be enjoying life. But like you say, you have to plan for what is eventual. Now, we don't like accident insurance for your car, but you get it just in case. Life insurance, it's not a just in case you die. You're going to exit here. I mean, that's a given. That's not a, you know, well, if I die. No, it's not an if, it's a when. The only difference is you don't know when, but you do know that it is going to happen. So, you know, just plan for how you're going to handle your remains. Plan for how other people are going to handle, you know, the hospitalization, your remains, whatever. But plan for what you know is going to happen. I mean, that's one of the things that families do, which is why you need to have a family. I mean, we've known people that did not make arrangements, and no one knew what was going to happen to the body, and maybe it stayed somewhere a long time, you know, because, yeah, people don't like to talk about it, don't like to think about it, but if you don't, then you leave that burden to somebody else, you know, that you're creating more grief because they're going to be angry at you in addition to grieving your loss because you've made it harder to figure out what to do with this shell that you're not in anymore. You got to put it somewhere and it costs money. So plan for those things. You know, that's a part of being a responsible family member. And like you were saying earlier, when people are sick, you know, if someone has a terminal illness, you have to talk about it, even though it might make you sad, but don't make it painful because nobody wants to deal with it until it happens and then everybody's all upset or everybody's fighting over their stuff. You know, just...
Right. And if you don't want to do it at home, do it when you go away.
Yeah.
You know, before the change went into effect, I went out of the country last week. And before, when I left, there was a directive that I had to take a COVID test to come home and be COVID-free.
Mm-hmm.
But thank goodness, on the day that I returned, the law was canceled.
Mm.
So now we don't have to take a COVID test, but I should spend that money to work through it first.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did not think of, what if I did contract COVID? What if I went over there with COVID? And what if I did contract COVID and I couldn't get back into the United States? Now,
you're somewhere quarantined.
I've got to live while I'm in quarantine.
At least 2 weeks.
Free.
Yeah, it's not
so
free.
You have to plan for it. And that's something that we weren't talking
Yeah. Right. When you go abroad and get sick.
And the insurance that I talk about would have covered reimbursement and some type of support for that. But in general, we did not talk about what if.
Right.
So if you don't want to talk about those living wheels at home because your day is so chaotic with everyday life, then take that documentation with you somewhere else.
Yes.
And have it notarized when you get home.
Yes. That is critical. That is critical. Well, you know, one thing, a lot of times people don't think about the fact that every country is different. Like you say, you've got different rules. We're used to, you know, something happens, we'll be hauled up in an ambulance to an emergency room. You know, they call 911, they'll come get us. Everybody don't have 911. Everybody don't have free ambulance service. Everybody doesn't have an emergency room that will take care of you.
And most third world countries, they are so poor that
ain't no 911. Yes.
Before you go.
And if you don't have it, well, I guess you just gonna die.
Boy, you, I don't know. You don't understand. If you don't have that dinero,
yeah.
They not taking you. You don't have it.
Right.
You know what?
Yes, right. It's not a humanitarian command where we must save this life and we'll find out that they have money later. No, it's like, do you have money? Oh, okay, we'll save you. Do you have money? No? Oh, well, sorry. When you get money, call us.
You're going to have to go down to the bushwhack, please.
Yeah, something. So, I mean, we need to know. But we need to know these things, though. Not everybody is set up to take care of you if you don't have funds. And not everybody is set up to accommodate you if you don't have other people. And, I mean, I admire people who they travel, and they might travel alone. I mean, my daughter, she's fearless. She's gone to all these different countries, you know, and I'm always panicking. I'm crazy, but something happens. Can I go and see her? Can I go and bring her back? You know, and she's been blessed, you know, not had any. Well, she did have one accident. I think she was in China. She fell, and a bracelet she was wearing cut her wrist, and they had to rush her to the hospital. But, you know, interesting enough, it only cost $40 for them to stitch her up. I'm thinking, okay, that wouldn't have happened in America. You'd probably have been paying $1,000 just to get there. But, you know, the hospital costs are very inexpensive. So I'm grateful. And plus she was there, I think, for my niece's wedding, so she had people that can help her. But, you know, sometimes you might get injured and you don't have people, you don't have a place, you don't have money, and you're really out of luck. So
you don't know.
You don't, yeah. And if you're somewhere where not everybody speaks English, yeah. So, you know, it's important to plan for things. You might be someplace with people that English is not their first language. Or the people who stop to help you, maybe their language is not English. That's happened to me before. I tried to help a guy. I felt really bad. He spoke Spanish. I didn't know enough Spanish to actually help him. He had been in a car accident. So I called 911, and I told the ambulance. I told him that, you know, this person speaks Spanish, so you need to send a Spanish driver, which they did. So I'm grateful for that because I didn't know enough Spanish to, you know, remember all the body parts and ask what hurt. You know, I felt like, okay, I got to study more. I should know how to ask them something. But, you know, it can happen. You can go someplace and be in an accident. The person tries to help you. They don't speak your language. They can't help you, you know. So you just always have to just be prepared.
They don't know it's your inside the stomach and not the outside.
Yeah.
It's the top of your stomach, not the bottom.
Right, right.
You know.
So, yeah.
They don't know. So there are some universal languages that you can adjust to. And we need to kind of know. There's a translation app. Everybody's into apps now.
Yeah, have it on your phone.
But that still associates with the interpreter.
Yeah, that's not foolproof because it's, you know.
Mandated and they give you an eye patch.
Yeah, could happen. Those things happen. But, you know, this is all a part of us learning each other as we're traveling abroad, because now the travel is made possible again. And you can be in another country in a matter of hours. The more we interact, the more we realize we have to expand our knowledge, our understanding, our language skills, our communication skills, even our sign language skills. We have to be prepared financially for emergencies because they can happen at any place. And we have to be prepared for if we pass away overseas. It's not pleasant, but what happens if you should pass away, get into an accident, and your family has to bring your body back? I mean, your life insurance policy should address that, you know, make it possible. As a matter of fact, I'm working with a company now that makes it possible for people, you know, if they need to, because a lot of people who are immigrated from, say, Latin American countries and things like that, and they, you know, people want to either be buried at home or they want their family members to come here. So you have to have ways of being able to do that. And you have to, you know, buy the insurance that prepares for the inevitable, because it is inevitable. And that's a lot of what families should do when they
people get
together.
People have to know.
Yeah. Tell your family members, tell all of them, because you don't know who's going to succeed you, you know. Tell all of them where your papers are. Where's your insurance papers? Tell them where all your documents are. Tell them where your password. Yeah, tell them your passwords to your computer. Somebody else should be on your bank account so that your money's not frozen and the bank won't give it to anybody, even though you need them to have it to take care of you. Tell people your stuff. You know, we, like you said, we have trust issues. I don't want anybody knowing my business. Okay, you pass away. Nobody can get into your bank. Nobody can get into your computer. Nobody can get into your house. Nobody has keys to your house. Nobody has keys to your car. Nobody has any. So nobody can help you with your stuff because you didn't trust anybody. I've seen people go through that, and it's really a mess because what the family's got to go through to produce documentation, first of all, that you have passed away, and then second of all, documentation that they're related to you, and third of all, documentation that they have the authority to act on your behalf. It's hard to do when you're gone. So do all that stuff before you go.
Trust issues are valid. Yeah. There are families. There are security measures that you can put in
place
to cover for those trust issues. You just have to do a little more research. You just have to do a little more digging. You may have to pay a third-party person. But you gotta let it be known.
Yeah.
So when you're meeting together for those family reunions, I can't stress enough. The parties are good, but when you have that family meeting, let it be purposeful.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do everything at one time.
Yeah.
You know, do it in stages. You know, yeah. with the marvel of Zoom.
Yeah.
Stages.
You know, and that's really what I would advocate. A lot of times, because I know in the past couple of years with COVID, a lot of families couldn't get together. I think my family, we did November, we did a Thanksgiving Zoom, we did Christmas Zoom. Yeah, so we were able to do that because a lot of people still didn't feel comfortable traveling. And then my family is all over the world, literally. So, you know, we got folks in China, Australia, you know, all that. And so we were able to still gather for the holidays and people didn't have to pay that exorbitant airfare at the time, which is, I mean, sometimes you do want to gather, but it was nice to be able to gather and nobody had to pay any money. So sometimes if you need to have a family meeting, if you don't want to do it during the party time, okay, then have it on Zoom. But, you know, have those discussions. And include everybody who needs to know the important thing. And you mentioned a trust issue. Sometimes you need to get a family lawyer, a trustworthy one, not one that's trying to figure out how they can keep you all fighting and get all your money, but one who you can trust to, you know, whether it's, you know, making sure that they fill out power of attorney forms or healthcare power of attorney forms, you know, so that there's some documents that give people authority to do things. If you've got minor children, you know, who would get custody, because sometimes that can be a real mess. When you have children under the age of 18 and, you know, parents pass away, it can happen, especially, you know, hey, God forbid you're on the plane, it crashes. Okay. your children are staying with Aunt Minnie. Well, does Aunt Minnie have authority to adopt them, or does she have to go through the Well, hi there.
What's up?
Well, this is Attorney Richard. Well, here, have a seat here. These last few minutes.
What's happening, everybody?
Yeah, so we are live all around the world. Move around with Deborah. She's our travel agent, and every third Saturday we talk about global
issues.
I'm doing
good. We got 10 days to go.
10 days to go.
But we're celebrating freedom right now.
Right.
We're celebrating liberation.
Yes, yes.
We got to get everybody free.
Yes, absolutely. And voting is the number one thing you need to do to get free. Attorney Richard Boykin, running for Cook County Board President. All right.
Thank you so much. Make sure you get it in now in time. Don't wait too late. And get it in right away.
Early voting is going on as well.
Right.
So
right
now. You don't have to wait until the election day. You can get out and vote right now and make your vote count. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, I love what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Vote early and often. That's Chicago way, right?
Yeah, don't vote often.
But do vote early, yes.
Do vote early. And make sure you go out on election day on June 28th if you have not voted early.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And you know what to do, Punch 102. A vote for Richard Boykin is a vote for safe streets, safe neighborhoods. It is a vote for affordable housing. It's a vote for an affordable Cook County, one in which we got a fair tax system, property taxes, gas tax, food tax, a sales tax. If you want fairness, a Punch 102.
All righty. There you go.
Thank you. Now I'm going to go in and celebrate with Operation Push and Reverend Jesse Jackson.
There you go.
Go push.
But thank you so much. See, when you're running for office, you always got to be ready. You got to have that spiel on your tongue. He's a good one. Yes.
That was
a joy. Yes. But, you know, the
yeah, and don't forget Wendy Williams.
Yes, definitely. Our dear sister attorney, Wendy Williams, running for judge. And, you know, she has been such a wonderful source of wisdom, trying to keep us out of the legal system if possible, especially when it comes to family court. And, you know, we're talking about family. When you can't agree and you got to go to court, it's going to cost you some money. So it's best to keep those family relationships pleasant and peaceful so you don't end up before a judge who has to make decisions on who gets to keep the house, who gets to keep the children, who gets to keep, you know, all of that. So, yes, Attorney Wendy Williams for Cook County Judge. Now, I believe her punch number is 176, so look out for her. Wendy Williams, yes. So, you know, we've met some really wonderful people that are running for office. And what makes me happy is the fact that even though in this nation we've done some ugly things to each other in the name of economics, yeah, you know, we are, you know, still hurt by that whole slave experience, but we have been able to recover tremendously. We got to look at what was just said, change the atmosphere. We have to change it from one of, oh, woe is me, we're such victims, they did us wrong, to look at the triumph. Look at what we've won. Look at what we've achieved. Look at how we've inspired people around the world. Look at how we are continuing to thrive. Look at all these wonderful people running for office and achieving positions of leadership and changing laws, and look at how we're really evolving into a great nation where we really are living up to that creed that we put on paper, that even the people who put it on there weren't quite living it. But it was visionary because now we're manifesting it. We're actually manifesting those words. So, yes, let's be joyful that we have the power to change things, and we're doing it.
Make lemonade.
There you go. With some honey if you got it. But we can turn these lemons into some sweet lemonade. Yes, we can.
Yes. Make it work for you.
Absolutely.
Turn around and make it work for you. Positivity.
Absolutely. Make it work.
Positivity. We got to have positivity and joy. Smile.
Yes.
Laughter.
Yes.
Excitement.
Yes.
Yes. It'll heal us. You know, it'll stop some of that sickness.
That's it.
You know, we already learning how to eat healthier. Let's breathe healthier. Let's encompass healthy.
And laugh more. Yes. And laugh more. Laughter heals the body. Yes. Live in joy. Yes.
It's been a pleasure. I thank you so much for sitting out there in that sun in front of that historical building.
Yes.
As we travel, that museum, that edifice, and it's been in our culture for years.
Right. 50th and Drexel. Yes, I'm out here getting a suntan. I got three different shades of black since I've been out here. So a good thing black is beautiful because I sure do have it today.
That's right. And we'll look forward to those three moms tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Sharing their wisdom.
Yeah, we want you all to join us. We're going to be live at 5 on Three Black Moms, Facebook and YouTube, talking about the transgender issue. And we'll talk to a mother who has a son who is transgender. How does it feel when your child decides to change the sex they were born with? How do you handle that? It's a big emotional discussion. Yeah.
Still your baby.
Right. I guess you can hit that closing now. And...
okay, love you.
Thank you all. See you tomorrow for Three Black Moms, and then tune on in right back here for the Female Solution with Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. We'll see you then.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.